of the Living Geek.
All right, everybody, welcome to another glorious episode of I'll Play a Cast of Survivor Podcast, Season 34, Game Changers. We're talking about Episode 8. It has a show title, but I'm not going to mention it because this is the best episode I've ever seen. We are Night of the Living Geeks Network. Go to patreon.com/NOTLG to support the show. Go to NOTLG.com and find other great shows. And I'm stumbling all the fuck over this. Nick,
don't worry, I'll make it good. I'll make it pretty.
Nick, you have a Twitter handle, right? What do the rating subscribe from?
My name is Nick. This is what I sound like.
That's wonderful. Brian, you have a Twitter handle, but nobody follow you.
Yeah.
Yeah. Do you even tweet? We do tweets, and I'm Andy.
There you go. I just realized we haven't said our names for like two seasons, so.
Well, we kind of do it in the end, right? With the, when we do the fantasy thing.
It's called professionalism, goddammit.
I know, and it's been so much better since I started doing the intros, but we're still fucking this up left
and
right.
Oh, disrespectful.
Ooh. But anyway, this is one of my favorite episodes because in a single episode, it has the encapsulation of why I hate Debbie and then the satisfaction of her leaving.
Well, and more importantly, like, you actually see people playing the game. Like, yes. This was the first time in probably, I almost want to say ever, that somebody has been at the bottom of a six-person alliance and said, I don't want to be the bottom of the six-person alliance. Blow this whole thing up. Yeah. And then actually do it.
Yeah.
Like, was it, God damn it, I still get Andrea. Yeah, it was Andrea. Andrea realized, I'm dead if I do this. I'm destined to be six or worse.
You mean
so
Sarah?
Sarah.
No, Sarah's the cop. Andrea.
Yes, Andrea's not in that six-person alliance.
No. Andrea's on
God
the outside.
Damn it. You're right. Andrea was the one that they were trying to get rid of. I was actually thinking, so I was saying the right name for the person that I was thinking of. I was just thinking of the wrong person. Regardless, though, she flipped and decided, all right, I'm going to work with these people that I was trying to get out just last week. And so we're seeing for the first time, really, in a long, long time, especially in a season of people who are changing or game changers, the game is actually changing.
Yeah.
And holy shit.
I really like it because normally when you do a change like this, you either get somebody like Troy Zan, who's in the mindset of, well, I'll wait until we're the final six and then I'll make a move. And he'll use his idol then, but then it just delays it a week because then it's just 4-1 instead of 5-1. You're still fucked.
Yeah.
Like, that's a bad mindset. I understand where it's coming from, but that does not get you anywhere. But she did it without using any kind of advantage, even though she actually grabbed one.
Yeah.
Which I love.
Normally, I ignore the challenges. Well, I don't ignore the challenges. I watch them because sometimes stuff happens. And this was a good example of that. Both challenges, something actually happened. In the reward challenge, you had Ceri doing very, very badly. But, continuing, right? Actually finishing the thing when she was given the option to just, we're done. You can stop. She's like, well, no, I'm going to continue. And then later on, the actual challenge, the immunity challenge itself, was a good challenge, which rarely happens. It was one that I really like because it's not straight balancing, right? And it's not straight puzzle. It's a mixture of the two. And it's not endurance either.
It's
like,
no puzzle, but yeah.
Yeah, it's not. It's a coordination challenge is what it is. So it is something that is up for almost anyone in this game.
There is like some strategy to it, which is why I consider it a puzzle. Mm-hmm. Like, Ty actually had a good strategy, which was, I'm going to spell it out ahead of time. It's just that he got flustered because he hadn't eaten forever.
Now you're talking about a different challenge.
No.
Yeah, you are.
No. Because what Ty did is he spelled... Yeah, that was immunity. Ty spelled out immunity first off, and what he intended to do is spell it going straight up and down, and then spell it backwards, take the I and put that on the bottom, and that way he would be able to just take whatever was on top and move that piece, right? Everyone else had to fish around trying to find the right piece, which is really hard when you're trying to balance and keep yourself from tipping over that that lever or whatever you want to call it. So I really like the way he did that. He just got super flustered and decided to make it. First he had the tower and he ran over forgetting to grab a piece, which was hysterical, and then he got all flustered and broke it into two piles. One which was upside down and the other one that was right side up, and he just made himself so much worse.
You glossed over a couple things that I think we should come back in
sure,
your description
sure.
there. I know, okay, Brian, tell me what you think of Ceri's emotional moment.
Oh, fucking crap. See, that's why I didn't know what the fuck he was talking about, because we were talking about the first challenge, and then you suddenly, in the middle of it, jumped to talking about the second one. But anyway, I don't give a fuck. Like, oh, good for her. She fucking finished it. But, you know, so did everyone else, okay? You ever think of that shit?
Yes,
also,
but
she absolutely would not have done it if Jeff wasn't like, are you sure you don't want to go finish it right now while we wait?
Yeah, but here's the thing. Think about it strategically. If you're bad at challenges, people think, oh, you're a goat, right? We can just take you to the end. Right?
No.
Now, then at the end, when you're in Final Tribal Council, you have to explain to everyone why you were bad at challenges and they should vote for you, which doesn't really work. But what she can do now is go, look, I'm not good at challenges. Everyone knows that. I'm a nurse. I have a real job and all that kind of stuff, but I can't. I don't go camping. I don't swim. I don't do whatever all else. The fact that I even hung in there as a large overweight person who's, you know, I wasn't a hindrance in most of the team challenges. I think you should vote for me because I did my best. I think she can actually swing that a little bit, or at the very least mitigate things, you know, so she isn't just an unabashed, awful goat at the very end.
That doesn't make you a goat. No one gives a fuck if you're bad at challenges.
I mean,
no, they say it. They do it all the time.
If David had made it to the end last season, that'd be something some of them would have talked about. Like, you were fucking terrible at a big chunk of what this game is supposed to be about. Like, it was comedic how bad he was.
Oh, yeah.
Remember the time he was, like, struggling, like, trying to get the ball into the basket on the platform, and he fell, and then the ball went over the other side, so he had to jump in, get it, come back up, and he couldn't come.
Is he like, throwing it?
Yeah, they literally thought he was faking it, but he's just that bad. Ceri is also that bad. But she's able to twist it, and I'll be like, I never stopped trying. And it's like, yeah, neither did anybody else. Like, Brian, you're right. That is bullshit. That is bullshit. And I have a similar reaction to you, Brian. I was, like, cringing when Jeff did that and when Sarah went over and all the attention went on her. Because if I were in Ceri's position, I'd be like, no, fucking bring that boat over. I ain't going to fucking do this. Like, because A, I don't want that attention. B, me going across the balance beam is not fucking special. Literally every other person here did it. Like, I would not want to happen to me what happened to Ceri, but she, because she's in the game, I think she turned it into that moment, maybe not consciously, I don't know. But what I like about what she did there, Brian, and I know you roll your eyes at that stuff, but what we've been talking about this season is almost everybody here who's going to be getting to the end has a good story. And now Ceri has a good story. And she has a goat to bring along with Michaela.
Dude, nobody's going to be like, she got to the end and she's going to be like, remember that one challenge I didn't give up on? So I should win, obviously.
No,
that's not going
to exactly, no, but she has to do this on every challenge. She has to really emphasize the fact, not only was I the couch potato that came on to play this game, but I'm still here, even though I think she's one of the oldest people left. Play up her age a little bit. Play how she
I
made
think
it.
Troyzan is older, but yeah.
Yeah. So if she needs to get Troyzan out,
then she well, be like, okay.
I'm so much older. Especially if she brings like Michaela and who else is young as hell out here. If she brings two young people with her as goats,
you're overlooking one thing is all. Hmm. So as you said, like, oh, everybody crossed it. I would have been like, no, I'm gone. But then you would have been the one person who didn't cross it.
Yeah.
Like, that would be a huge black mark against you.
Yeah. I'd be okay with that.
And so, like, what she's doing is...
Really? Is that why they voted out Debbie? Because of that one fucking thing she couldn't do? No.
No, they voted her out because she's insane. But I'm talking about in the final tribal council. You could be like, you didn't even contribute in all of the challenges. You gave up halfway through. That's going to cost you so many votes. Like, okay,
giving up after the challenge is over doesn't mean anything.
Yes. I mean, there are so many times when the challenge ends and the person just jumps off the platform and swims to where Jeff is. It's not a thing. Jeff made it a thing. And Ceri, I don't know how much she was a participant in making a thing. I don't know. But in the edit, it looks like Jeff was like, Ceri, you're there. Do you want to do this? Because Sarah swam over and started helping and it became a thing. And I don't know how much agency in that becoming a thing Ceri had. But it is nothing special to just swim over to Jeff's platform after the challenge is over. It's really, really not.
Yeah.
I still think that at the very, very least, in the moment, if she had just given up, I wouldn't say that would be the end of her for the game. Like, I don't think they're going to vote her out that night because of it. but that would have been the end of her even having a chance to get the $1 million. Like, there's no way she would have won. Like, I mean, now she has a chance. It's like, who was it last season? There was a player last season who made a couple of moves that weren't very good, but we were looking at it, and it's like, those moves she made were literally the only ways that she could get any votes. God, I don't remember who it was. I remember really liking her. But regardless, most of the time, like, when a season happens, it's gone out of my head shortly thereafter. But I remember we were talking, like, why would she get that person out? Because, like, literally, that's the only way she could make a case to a jury saying, look, I made moves. I did stuff. This is Ciri's way. I forget what my original point was. It's all good. Let's move on.
No, we had to move on, but not from this challenge. Okay, because she shouldn't have been in that position in the first place, because they did a fucking schoolyard pick. Why the fuck would you leave out Michaela? This is 100% a physical challenge, and they left fucking Michaela out.
Who were
the hell
captains?
Were they thinking?
It was Brad and Ciri. Because that's the thing. If Ciri hadn't been a captain, it would have been Ciri sitting over there.
Definitely.
I'm surprised Ciri didn't pick Michaela.
Right?
I think that's on purpose. Because Ciri is trying to keep that connection on the down low.
That's a good point.
Ciri's trying to make sure nobody knows that Michaela is under her wing and in her pocket. Until it becomes advantageous to let people know.
But, like, picking her for a super fucking physical challenge isn't going to let everybody know that.
Right. And that's what Michaela gets pissed off and says. Michaela gets pissed off and is like, why the fuck am I over here? Like, I'm one of the best competitors out here. What the hell is going on?
Maybe Ciri realized that if I pick her, it's not going to change anything. Because, I mean, look who the problem was in that challenge, right? It was Ciri. They could have had Michaela on their team, and they still would have lost just as badly.
Yes and no, but Zeke didn't do too great either. Zeke was on that team. Troyzen did okay. I would take Michaela over Troyzen. I would take Michaela over Zeke. I would take Michaela over myself. I mean, that's not an option. But
oh, right. Well, no, okay.
And Sarah? I'd take Michaela over Sarah, too.
Right. But here's the thing. If you know that
if you know you're going to lose anyway, I hear what you're saying.
Then why would you expose the one card you have?
Yeah. And Michaela almost shows her hand, too, because Michaela's, even though she's super pissed, is cheering on Ciri really hard. It's like, oh,
yeah.
I put you over there for a reason.
And Helen, oh, my God. I felt so, not bad, but I was so sad that she didn't even notice the secret advantage. Now, like, okay, it only slipped her notice for like a second, but that's all it took, because once she was sat down on that bench, there was no way she would have seen it.
I don't know how she didn't see it when she climbed up. Like, it's literally right in front of her face.
Out of curiosity, did they show her climbing up onto that?
Yeah.
No.
That means she was like, as she was getting up out of the water, she must have had water in her eyes and just ignored it or something. I don't know. But when she's up on that bench, she's just laying there watching them.
Sarah saw it from the other fucking platform.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's the only one who saw it. Like, there were 11 people out there playing the game, and she's the only one who saw it. Now, Michaela had the best chance to look at it. Like, you know, she got right up close on it, but we don't know. Like, maybe, like you said, maybe there was salt in her eyes, maybe she had her eyes closed, or maybe she just wasn't looking. Like, maybe she was looking off to the side. I mean, that sucks that she didn't see it, because she could definitely have, like, she could definitely have put that to good use, because she knows how this game works. She knows it real well. I saw it when she was talking in Tribal Council. She was explaining to people, look, everyone thinks they have a chance here, but the five of us who are free agents, we have no chance. So we have to grab the initiative now, and we have to change the game. And, like, odds are Sarah would have done what she did anyway, right? She probably would have blown that alliance up. But maybe Michaela's talk and strategy talk is what pushed her over the edge and really made her decide. So I don't know. I really feel like if she had the temperament to get along with people, I think she'd be unstoppable in this game. Unfortunately, doesn't really have that.
Yeah. And I mean, like, even when she's getting worked up over there, right? And she's getting worked up, and Jeff says, Jeff says, how you're feeling? And she says, feeling like they some bitches.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I love you for saying that, Michaela, and I love your attitude all the time. It's super entertaining. But at the same time, at this point in the game, so often when the winning tribe wins, Jeff will be like, does any one of you want to elect to give up your chance and trade it to Michaela? Half the time he'll offer that. Don't burn that bridge before the challenge even starts. Like, yeah, what are you doing?
But here's the thing. If you are one of the premier physical players left in the game, and neither team takes you, odds are they're not going to just let you go on the reward, right?
Yeah, like, and I mean, she calls that out herself. She says, both of these teams picked based on their alliance lines and not on whether or not they want to win. Which is like, it's great that you're pissed about that, but then look at the fact that they chose based on their alliance and you're sitting out there on your own.
Yeah. But she's sitting out there on her own. She's still in the game. Her name, like she said at Tribal Council, I didn't get any marching orders, so I think they expect me to be marching out. Like, she knows that, and she's still there.
She makes it to the end. She can pull the, look, you all hate me, and I'm still here card.
Yeah. I wasn't dragged to the end. Well, yeah. Unless Ciri does it, but yeah.
Yeah, she's going to have to get Ciri out.
Yeah. So here's my question to you guys. At what point did you realize Debbie was going home? Or someone from that alliance was going home?
Yeah, for me, somebody from her.
Yeah, for me, it was a minute and a half in, less than that, when Debbie is gloating to the camera saying, we are in complete control. We're just going to pick them off one by one, and then it's us. I was like, well, whenever anyone says that, they are done.
Yeah, I think it's when the show title comes just after that, when she says, it's not a line drawn in the sand, it's a line drawn in concrete. I'm like, oh. Yeah, you guys are fucked. And then it's reinforced later when Sierra jinxes it too. Sierra says, us six are super tight, and I don't see why anybody should break, and I don't think we will. Yep, you're gone.
Yeah.
So, at least now we can have them stop naming the episodes after her dumbass lines.
Yes.
At least until the final tribal council, when she says something stupid, and then they name it after whatever she said.
You know, I want to say, though, there was a moment in this episode that I just hated on Debbie so much. It's when they're going on the reward, right? And they're on that like boat plane thing, you know.
You're about to say exactly what I was going to say.
Yeah, when she's like, "I am a civilian pilot, so other people are still amazed by planes." It's like, yeah, you should still be amazed by planes. You know why? Because planes are fucking amazing. We're flying through the air.
No, not even that. Okay. Like, her attitude and stuff, like, whatever, here nor there. There have been people on the show with a bad attitude. What I don't like is the editors are choosing to show us Andrea in the plane looking out the window with a giant fucking grin on her face like a kid in a candy shop, right? But we don't get Andrea's confessional. We get Debbie saying, oh, yeah, you know, I've got 11 years as a civilian air patrol captain, so this is just no big thing for me, blah, blah, blah. But it's nice for these kids to get an opportunity. Like, this could have been a really good moment for me to watch on the show. Maybe Andrea's got some life-enriching experience that she had on. Maybe her father died on. I don't fucking, who knows, you know? Like, maybe Andrea has some great story on why she's grinning like a fucking idiot on that plane, but we don't get to hear that. Instead, we have to hear Debbie.
I have a feeling, and I don't mean this as an insult to Andrea, but I have a feeling the reason she had that big goofy grin, it's really pretty out there. Like, I think we might be overthinking this a bit. I don't think there's any great story like, oh, my father, my great grandmother was Amelia Earhart. No, I think it's just like, wow, I'm in the South Pacific. It's so blue and beautiful. This is great.
Even so,
and
I would eat
chicken wings with people. This is going to be fun.
I would rather hear that than Debbie.
No, that's fair.
Yeah, Debbie overwrites good television with her idiocy. Yeah. Like, I don't mind that she's crazy and quirky.
Yeah. She's not quirky. So it pisses me off that she was just, you know, like, making it sound like she's the only person that knows it, like, being in a fucking plane is like, how do you think you all got to Fiji, you stupid fuck?
I took a train. I don't know about you.
I went by submarine.
No,
it could be good television, but instead it's Debbie. And Debbie's, I mean, I like quirky, crazy people. And she is crazy and quirky, but she's also fucking horrible to watch. There's nothing satisfying about having her on the screen.
Yeah, she's like if Ozzy was crazy. That's how it would be.
because she's terrible at challenges. Even though she's got 11 years as a gymnast or whatever the fuck, she crawls across a basic balance beam.
Fair enough. All right.
Anyway, let's talk about Sarah and her decision to switch. I like the moment when she just like throws her arms up and says, "I'm going to decide to travel," and stares at the camera. I like that because that's something we don't get that often anymore. Like, so often now, like, travel is just a formality. You know, you get there and you know what's going to happen, and people talk and you think, "Oh, that's kind of interesting," but it's not going to matter, and it doesn't matter. This is the one time, like, I genuinely went into this thinking, I'm like 75% sure, but that's less than normal.
Yeah. Well, usually it's either a fait accompli, like you know who's going home, or the editing is really weird and you have zero idea who's going home.
Yeah.
Like, it just ends up being some random ass person that they didn't even give the scene to, you know? Like, it happened just a couple nights ago. Was it last week? It was last week. No, it was Haley. Yeah, that's right. Sorry. Like, when Haley got voted off, we never saw the flip that caused that to happen. So it just seemed like it happened. That's why we had no idea what was going on.
And I think the thing that made Sarah unsure and that finalized her decision, she said she was going to decide tribal, but I think it's really, she went and talked to Sierra, and Sierra said, "I want it to be you, me, and Debbie." And I'm like, yeah, of course. Like, Sarah's like, "Oh, I'm not on the bottom. I'm in the final three." I'm like, no, you're not. Somebody wants to bring you along as a goat. Like, of course Sierra wants to bring along Sarah and Debbie, because then it's Sierra who's been in charge and two goats.
Yeah, and that's the big difference between Sarah and Troyzan, and why I don't think Troyzan's going to actually win this game. Like, he might get to the end. Very good odds of that happening. But I don't think he's going to win this thing, because, like he said in Tribal Council, you know what? You just get to number six, and then you see what happens. Whereas Sarah saw, you get to number six, and then you make something happen. And so she has the initiative now. Everything, she threw a grenade into the middle of the Tribal Council by voting out Debbie, and now everything changes. Which, in this season, which is literally called Game Changers, being able to say, "I changed the game in Game Changers," puts the game in your favor.
I see what you're saying, but I think Troyzan's speaking from a place of comfort, with immunity on his neck and immunity in his pocket, and knowing that his name's never the one going tossed around, and he just has to make a really good immunity play late in the game, and he can just point to that and be like, "Hey, I took out Brad. I'm the one who shattered that."
I genuinely forgot that he had immunity in his pocket too.
Yeah. if he just keeps laying low and people think they want to bring him as a goat, and then if he just drops that immunity necklace, or he just drops a hidden immunity on somebody at just the right moment to turn things around, yeah, that's all he needs to do to make a case. If it's Troyzan, Sarah, and I don't know, who else the fuck else? If it's Troyzan, Sarah, and Zeke.
Aubrey?
Zeke or Ty.
Okay.
Ty,
well, Zeke's gonna win.
Ty is likable, but yeah.
Yeah, Ty didn't. I felt he didn't really do much this episode.
Ty, what's going to happen is they're going to get down to like five or six people, and they're going to be like, "Guys, we really need to get rid of Ty because he's really likable, and I'm afraid of him. And he's going to play two immunities in a row." And they're going to be like, "Well, fuck, I guess Ty's coming along."
Well, yeah, is he though? I feel like he's probably going home with two immunity. You know what I mean?
It
he's
almost
still
happened earlier.
Have him in his pocket when he goes home.
I feel like if Ty senses that he might even slightly be in danger here, he's going to play one just because he does not want to go home. He does not want to be James 2.0.
Yeah, and he it's late enough in the game, he can play one and not feel like he's burning it too early, and he has another one, so fuck it.
Well, because think about it, we are really headed for a pile-up here, where we have, let's see, because all this stuff has to happen, I think, when there's five or six people left. So you have, I'm looking through our stuff here, you have Ty with two immunity idols, Sierra with a legacy advantage,
which is immunity at six players.
Wait, does it actually say immunity, or does it just say you play it and do a thing?
Sierra has immunity, but she can only use it with 13 players left and 6 players left.
Okay. Well, someone's going to have the legacy, because she might get voted out before then. Mm-hmm. Well, regardless, Troyzan has an idol. Ty has two idols. Sierra has a pseudo-idol. Sarah has a vote steal. all of this stuff is going to just be an 8-car pileup in the middle of one tribal council. It's going to be glorious. So.
Yeah, I hope it all comes out on week 82. On when there's 6 people left.
Oh my god, that would be great, because let's see. You would have whoever won immunity. Ty, Sierra, Troy, Zan. So that would be 4 out of 6 people would have immunity. Oh my god, that would be insane if that happened.
Yeah, I would love it if... Because Sarah has to do it before the vote and steal the vote, right? Saying, no, Troy Zan, you sit over there, I'm going to steal yours, which will make Troy Zan play his idol. Like, I'm just imagining, if Sarah steals Troy Zan's vote to make Troy Zan play his, but then Ty thinks that Sarah's switching it to him, then Ty plays his, and Sierra's going to play it, because fuck it, why not?
God. That would just be Survivor Russian roulette.
I would love it. I would love it. Then Suri is definitely going home. Yeah.
No! Well, someone would have had to have voted for her, so.
Yeah. Wouldn't it be great if nobody does and it's just 2 people sitting there, like, having to Rochambeau for it?
My god.
I have 2 other favorite moments of this episode, aside from Debbie getting voted out. One is Michaela sitting there eating coconut chips and clapping as Debbie goes away.
Oh. Like, okay. There's that photo of Michael Jackson eating the popcorn from the Thriller video. I want this to become the new Michael Jackson. Like her, a gif or gif, I don't care, of her eating those chips. My god, that would be great. But she was just doing it so casually, and then as soon as Debbie gets voted out, she just breaks into sarcastic applause. Michaela will probably not win, but she is my favorite person who has not won. You know, like who has no chance. I want to see her go to the end because she deserves it. Like, she's playing the game right. She's just not making any friends, and so that's why she's not going
to
win.
Yeah, she needs to bring some first order goats along.
Yeah.
I just thought of something. I really want to hear. You know, when like sometimes in the final tribal when they fucking jurors like attack the players, I really want to hear them do that to Michaela.
Yeah, and then hear Michaela clap back at all of them. Oh my god, that would be great.
And I mean, she's being really overt right now in tribal, and depending on how short or long these players' memory is of the moment, she could take a little bit of credit for this one. She could take a little bit of credit for some and maybe get away with it. I mean, she is the biggest showman in this tribal, hands down. I mean, aside from the fact that Debbie's gone and somebody switched, Michaela's going to be a thing that people are remembering from tonight.
The only person who has reactions that even come close, and I think this was the next thing that you were going to say, is Aubrey. Like, Aubrey mugging to the camera is one of the most beautiful things in this season. Like, when Debbie is in the middle of saying, I don't think I'm going to vote you out, and then Aubrey, like, straightens up from picking up wood and just glances to the camera, like Jim in the office, and goes right back to it. And the next thing we see is her talking to Andrea and Sarah and getting this anti-Debbie alliance organized and doing the double guns.
Yeah.
Oh, she's wonderful.
Yep. Do we have anything else to say about this episode?
Oh, we should talk about Zeke. Because this episode started with, you know, the fallout of him being voted for a couple of times. And the thing that impressed me was everyone came to him and was like, do you want to talk about why we voted for you? And he was just like, not really. I understand. And, like, Andrea responded really negatively to that. Sarah seemed to kind of just get it.
When he's standing there talking to Andrea, and then, you know, he's, like, trying to, like, all right, we can just talk about this. And then she keeps interrupting. He's like, well, if you're not going to let me speak, I'm just going to talk to somebody else. Go fuck yourself.
Yeah. I wrote his line down verbatim because I want to use it in meetings in the future. He says, this conversation doesn't seem to be productive since I'm not getting a chance to speak. So I'm going to go talk to other people. Like, yeah, fucking leave. Like, she just wants to vent. Yeah. And she wants to vent at you. And that's not productive for you. So get the fuck out of there and let her vent to somebody else.
But, at the end of the episode, they have built a bridge. They voted together to get someone out.
Yeah.
I'm interested to see what happens next between the two of them. Like, if they can continue this bridge building, or if it's just a temporary alliance of convenience, and as soon as it's not convenient anymore, they're done.
I think it's just a matter of convenience, because these are two people who play the game with their head over their heart, as opposed to somebody like a Debbie or like a Michaela who will play with their heart over their head sometimes.
Well, I don't know about that. Like, look at Andrea. Her reaction is totally heart over head. Like, he went for her very, very briefly, And all of a sudden, now it's, I've got to murder him.
Like he's a demon.
Yes, exactly. He's a demon. All that kind of stuff. We can't trust him. He's gunning for us. He's trying to get me out. That kind of thing.
Well, so I'll come to her defense a little bit, because they had been playing together, and they've been playing together pretty closely, and there were other bigger threats, and all of a sudden Zeke wanted to take out Andrea, and she's like, where the fuck did this come from, bro? Like,
yeah, but
it's an inappropriate, it was a wrong time, and there was no, I mean, I understand that's when you blindsend somebody, is when they don't see it coming at all, and when it's the most opportune to get them, but I come to her defense a little bit. It's not like they went and said Ozzy or went and said, you know, any of these dozens of other people, any of these half dozen other people that could have been much better targets.
Well, regardless, my point is just that I think she's doing a good job, but I think she's a little bit more heart over head than you're giving her credit for.
Yeah, a little bit, but her and Zeke both are primarily game players.
Zeke is a stone cold killer. Like, he's laid low the last couple of episodes because he knows, I had this thing in control. I do not have it in control. I need to wait for the time to be right. He's like he is an earthbender, just waiting for the right moment.
nice pull.
You are welcome. That came straight to my dome.
I like the nice pull reference there, Mr. Ocean.
Yeah.
I was so happy when Debbie was gone, but for some reason I was like, I'm going to go catch up on Ponderosa.
I couldn't find the first two episodes. They must have changed their site layout or something.
I'll summarize for you. Haley's there on her own, and she finds a pile of trash and decides in the most bougie millennial way, I'm going to make art. So she makes art out of the trash pile.
Oh, that sounds fun. I actually want to see that.
Yeah, it's kind of funny.
Definitely, you're not ever going to watch that episode.
It's kind of funny, kind of dumb. Ozzy makes ceviche because he's a professional cook in his real life.
Is he really?
Yeah, he's a professional cook. He's actually a really good cook in his personal life. Apparently.
You know, the word is chef. You have to say he's a chef.
Whatever. Anyway.
Why is he not putting out like a cookbook or something?
I don't know. Do we want to move on to fantasy? There's no bets. We have no bets.
Wait. Should we bet that Sarah makes good on her promise to not fuck up stealing somebody's vote?
I'll bet that she fucks up.
I think she'll do it right.
Yeah, I was going to say, I think she'll actually do it right.
Like, unless she gets blindsided, which would be a victory for Andy. I'm not saying that it wouldn't. But unless she gets completely blindsided, I think she'll do it fine.
Yeah, not using it to save herself counts as fucking up.
Yeah. But we'll do what we'll do when it happens. If there's any doubt, we'll debate it, and then we'll just vote.
Yeah.
Because I think we're objective enough. We can figure it out. Yeah. So yeah, I'm saying sometimes she will use it well.
Yeah,
I do too.
So how many? 3 points?
Yeah, 3 points. I think it depends. If she tries to use it next week, I bet she'll fuck it up. If she waits till there's 6 people, well, that's really hard to fuck up.
Yeah, right. All right. Well, other than that, we have no bets to resolve because we basically blew that whole wad a little bit ago. So just, I guess, go to the team points total.
Sure. Goals. Brian came into the week with the lead at 66 points. He's got Suri, Andrew, and Brad. He gets 1 point from Suri since Suri survived tribal. Say that 10 times fast.
Wow, he has 3 points from
Andrea because Andrea was on the group that won reward, and she also survived tribal. Brad gets similar 3 points for the same thing. So that gets Brian 7 for the week, add on a 66, giving him 73. I came in with 63 in second. I get 1 each from Michaela, Ty, and Zeke because they didn't win jack shit, but they also didn't get voted out this week, so I get 3 whole fucking points this week, bringing me up to 66. Nick came into the week last at 54, way behind. But he gets 3 from Aubrey, 3 from Sierra, and 3 from Troyzan. Because Troyzan won immunity and got tribal, and Sierra and Aubrey were both on the reward winning team and all both survived tribal. So that adds 9 onto his 54 to bring him to 63. So we're at 73, 66, and 63, and Nick is now back in the race after having fallen way behind for a little while there. His decision to hold on to Sierra and Troyzan has worked out.
I'm really surprised Troyzan won immunity.
I mean, this thing, he can surprise you every once in a while. He's not as inept out there as some of these other people, even though he's older. But that said, even after your amazing week, Nick, you are still in last. So you have first at waivers. You have Aubrey, Sierra, and Troyzan, and the only person on the bench is Sarah. Do you want Sarah?
This is a hard decision. No, I think I'll pass. I realize I should probably trade Aubrey or drop Aubrey and pick up Sarah. You gotta dance with the one what brung you, so I'm gonna stick with her.
Okay. I'm in a similar position. I'm only 3 points up from you. I've got Ty and Zeke, and I'm gonna keep both of those because I think Zeke is a smart player and he'll stick around.
All three of your people could theoretically win the game if they get to the end.
Yeah, and Ty's got two idols. I'm really confident that Ty is. And yeah. Ty wins challenges.
You should definitely drop Ty.
No.
I'll trade you Aubrey for Ty.
The one I might debate would be Michaela, because Michaela is in a bad way, it seems, every week. There's a little bit of rumor of, I don't like Michaela. She's the only goat left. I'm looking at it that way, too. She's the only goat left.
Right, she is the only greatest of all time.
she's the only person left that everybody kind of universally could give or take, except for Suri. So in that respect, I can see Michaela lasting all the way till the end and getting taken as the goat. But Sarah's got the thing, and Sarah made a move. No, I'm gonna keep Michaela because Michaela can at least get me points for winning challenges if she ever gets picked to do the rewards. I guess
just want to point out, if you drop one of your people and pick up Sarah, and Sarah gets voted out, you're getting that person right back.
Yeah, I know.
You know.
Yeah, but you aren't getting points for that week. This is the problem.
But I'd be getting that zero. If it's whether or not we think we have. It's basically who do you think is getting out next week? Is it going to be your player or somebody else? And the problem is the preview for next week is who the fuck knows because it's all up in the air. Yeah. So there's literally no hint in the preview.
This was the worst possible time to have a grenade thrown into the camp when there's no one left to draft.
Yeah,
because you're right. This would be the perfect time Nick could just drop Aubrey and say, fuck it. Although at that point, I mean, if I liked Aubrey, I could drop Michaela and add Aubrey, which is something I would consider doing.
Oh, and then I would drop Sarah and take Michaela. Which I guess means we just proposed a trade, but honestly, I don't think I would want to trade him.
You wouldn't draw. Basically, you said, I would trade you, but I don't want to trade you. I'm not going to trade you. But I would if that happened.
So, you know what? I take it back. I'm not going to do that. Yeah, no, I wouldn't. So, if you want to pick up Sarah at the cost of Michaela, be my guest.
No, I'm good. Michaela, Ty, and Zeke, I'm staying back. Brian, you got Suri, Andrea, and Brad.
See, I don't think Sarah's going out next turn. Or next. I don't think she's getting voted out next week. But I don't want to give either of you Suri, Andrea, or Brad.
Yeah, because I would pick up Suri over Michaela in a
rough
second.
Because Suri is clearly, you know, nobody's worried about her. She's probably going to the end. And Andrea and Brad could possibly win. So
I really don't think Suri's going to make it to the end. I think Suri is there because you can get rid of Suri any fucking time you want. And Suri, what Suri's good at is building bonds
and
creating quiet alliances. And so far, the only person we've seen her work quietly with is Michaela. So you can get rid of Suri whenever you want. Like, literally. What is Michaela going to do? She doesn't have an idol. Suri doesn't. I mean, nobody knows these two don't have an idol, but
that's exactly my point. She's not working with anyone. So they're going to take her to the end because she's definitely not going to win because she isn't doing anything.
Yeah. I don't know.
Anyway.
Yeah.
No, I'm not dropping it.
Because Suri at the final can be like, I played this game four times and here I fucking am again. And it's not, she doesn't say it, she couldn't say it in the same conviction that like an Ozzy or a Sandro would. But she can still be like, look, I'm the most seasoned player out here. And you all let me get this far again? The fuck, guys? Come on, how bad are you all of you? That's her final. We all thought if Sandra got there, that would be her argument. But Sandra's argument in that same way is much stronger.
Oh, yeah, well, no, because she was saying that would be her argument.
Sandra absolutely would have been her argument. Suri won't say shit like that.
Yeah. Suri's never actually been at the final tribal council.
Yeah. All right, well, all that talk and nothing happened.
Yeah.
And we're all in the same places we've been for the last 3 weeks. Brian in first, me in second, and Nick in last. And I don't know what the fuck is going on that Brian has been winning all goddamn year.
Yeah.
It's okay. He'll screw it up towards the end.
Yeah, like that bet I just made, she's probably going to fucking use that thing next week and ruin it, and then it's going to be a huge swing, and Andy's going to take the lead.
Yeah.
Well, not with that attitude.
It's going to happen. I'm going to get three more points. That's the three that I'm going to need. Ty is going to win immunity, and Zeke and Michaela are going to go on a buddy trip. They'll be like, hey, remember when we were both millennials? Let's go on a reward. and I'm going to get all the points.
I will give you all 60 some odd of my points if that actually happens, because that's not going to happen.
But it's going to be really hard for you to catch up with those 3 points if I don't also lose somebody. I'm still 7 points ahead.
I know. Don't worry. You're going to lose Brad next week.
No.
Yeah.
I'm only 10 down.
Nobody's even ever considered voting out Brad like this entire time.
I'm only 10 down. Although you were down 12 before, so.
Yeah, I'm pretty curious. Has anyone, let me see if anyone's even written, my keypad's all the way over on the other side of the room. Never mind. I was going to go to Wikipedia and check the vote record, because I'm curious if anyone has ever even voted for Brad.
I can look it up.
I think so.
I can look it up, and you can do some editing right here. So I'm looking at the vote record, and I do not see Brad's name anywhere on here.
He has no votes. Wow.
Yeah, he's never gotten a vote. Despite being called out as a ringleader on almost every tribe situation he's been on.
I should point out the other person on my team has never received a vote either.
Which one?
So, three.
Siri?
Yeah.
Oh,
dude, last week was her first tribal council.
That's true.
Oh, wait, well, that's different. Brad's gone a couple of times.
Yeah, you do have the safest team.
Never mind.
Even Andrea.
Well, I mean, Andrea almost got voted out this week, but that's not the point.
Yeah, and then she had it written down a bunch of times. That's the thing, it only takes one chance. It only takes one opportunity to get unlucky.
It's your moment. Seize it.
This is your moment. Own it.
Okay.
No, ever let it go.
Okay, we're going to...
Should I continue?
No, we're done. We're done.
I'm Eminem.
No, we're done. Say goodbye. Say goodbye. Does anybody have a sign-off? We don't do a sign-off, do we?
No. Never mind. It doesn't matter. Goodbye.
See you in hell.
We're done.
Night of the Living Geek.